right, we're going to switch up the order of the readings today. So we're going to start with Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. You can find this in your pew Bibles on page 955. So listen for the word of the Lord. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Next is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The word of the Lord.
With all that we began in worship, it's no surprise that this is the week that Thanksgiving is upon us. The celebration kicks off the holiday season. That moment in the fall when the leaves are finally all down and hints of winter are coming. Yes, you did see snow on Thursday. So, what is your favorite way to spend the day next Thursday? You've got the turkey trot downtown, do it, and you get a pumpkin pie. You've got watching the Macy's Day Parade on your television set, followed by NFL games every Thanksgiving. You got the Lions and the Cowboys. Some of you, I mean, you can raise your hand if you want, are going to be on kitchen duty, right? Be peeling potatoes, stuffing a turkey, debating the benefits of using a bag or foil with the turkey. And then some of you are tasked with only making your one special dish, be it some kind of a cranberry concoction, something with Jell-O, something with rutabaga. Back in the day on Thanksgiving, I liked to scour the Thanksgiving Day ads to make a successful game plan for shopping on Black Friday, until they ruined it. If you didn't follow this progression, the stores opened earlier and earlier and earlier. Finally, it leaked into Thanksgiving evening, and then we said, what in the world? And then online shopping arose, and the whole game was ruined. Ah, for the good old days of Black Friday adventures. And still for others, the best thing about Thanksgiving is the people. That mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, grandparent, grandchild that you love to be around. Thanksgiving, it's celebrated year after year after year, here and in Canada too. Except in Canada, they celebrate in October so it doesn't crowd out Christmas. Where did this tradition come from? Believe it or not, the original Thanksgiving is somewhat up for debate. I know you didn't learn that in school, but the typical telling of the Thanksgiving story involves the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians sharing a three-day meal together in November of 1621 in New England. But wait, others suggest that there have been three previous gatherings, one big feast in 1541 among Spanish explorers in Texas. The same thing happened again in 1598. And then there was one in Maine in 1607. And so the fact that there are multiple first Thanksgivings and that Canada has its own similar origin story reveals the common practice of pausing to express gratitude to God in celebration of his blessings at harvest time. See, farmers know this well. They invest in spring planting, hoping for a good harvest, trusting God because they know it is largely out of their control. And when that fall harvest comes, whether big yield or small, they give thanks to God because it is an ingrained habit to know where the harvest comes from. And at the root of Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. It didn't originate with us or with Canada. It is a way that God's people have always connected to God. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's a wonderful psalm that I memorized as a kid. Did you memorize that as a kid? Anyone else? Raise your hand if you had to memorize. I see some nodding. Four of its five verses start with a verb. There are seven verbs directing us to get moving, to make, serve, come, know, enter, give, and bless. Often, I tend to think of gratitude as an attitude. It's the way that we feel in our hearts. But the psalmist says there are things to do. We're going to have to give praise and thanks to God. The psalm compels us to do something. Don't just stand there. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him and bless his name. It starts with making noise. A joyful one. And FYI, a good singing voice is not required. It causes me to think of the variety of noise, particularly the ones that bring joy or peace to our spirits. So listen to this list with imagination. Think of the sounds of animals across the earth. Elephants trumpet, lions roar, insects buzzing, frogs croaking, whales calling. Then there's the nature sounds, wind rustling through the leaves, crashing waves, flowing rivers, falling rain, thunder, and even the rumble of earthquake or volcano. Then there's the city sounds, familiar to us, bird singing, dogs barking, traffic passing, cars driving in the rain. The sound of fresh snow, of sleds and kids' voices, and shovels and plow trucks scraping up the snow. And then we've got the sounds of worship, choir, bells, your pew mate who barely sings, children scattering, parent chattering, parents shushing, hymn books opening and closing, silent prayer with the sounds of the congregation breathing, words spoken, prayers lifted, friends greeted. Make a joyful noise is less about the sound and more about the recognition of the goodness of life given to us by God. Both the complexity of creation and the simplicity of a single life lived well are both reasons for thanks. And yet when just juxtaposed with the misery that often accompanies the human experience, it's easy to give up on giving thanks. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's not the default posture of our culture around us. If we're going to embody this psalm of thanksgiving, perhaps we should consider our why. Tell me, why should I do these things? The text gives us a few reasons. The reasons are found amid all the imperatives, all the commands to do. It's profoundly simple reasons to give thanks are scattered amongst the verbs. Verse 3, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God is creator. This verse offers a reminder that the identity of the people of Israel, to whom the psalm was written and sung, was intricately woven into their relationship with God. They belong to God, and so they live their lives in a distinct manner. It impacted the way they dressed and ate and behaved and lived, and all of which pointed to their identity as God's people. Now, this psalm may not be written to us, but it was certainly written for us. It gives us strong reasons why we worship, enter, and give thanks. We too find our identity as people belonging to God, a reality that should inspire us to gratefully acknowledge and celebrate that we belong. We are not our own. Our culture encourages us to be self-made, self-made man, self-made woman. And we say things like, this is my life. And we decide the plans for our lives. Yet God made us. We belong to him. We are his people, which is a source of security and identity, the sheep of his pasture. Now, the Westminster Confession, the Catechism, one of the things we know, it starts out with this question: what is the chief end of humankind? And the answer, which many a 15th century child would memorize, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The second answer to our why is found in who God is. It's verse 5. For God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. So we are his, and the Lord is good. That's the reason we take action. God's goodness is demonstrated in unending love, steadfast love, even when trouble comes. Even when we are disobedient, even when we are ungrateful, God loves. Over and over, we see how God rescues his people, directs his people, forgives and accepts them. And when we lose our way, pursuing our own desires, placing idols before God, still God returns, rescues, and restores with us our relationship. Because the Lord is good. He is faithful to all generations, to our generation. This is the reason we give thanks. This is the security that grounds our lives. So I ask you, where have you experienced the steadfast love and thankfulness of God? Where have we collectively experienced God's steadfast love and faithfulness? Well, God's mercy and care are embedded in our stories. The moments that we have shared together when God became visible in our midst, amongst joy and amongst struggle. This week, our session spent some time talking about mission study question number one. Who are we collectively? It's an identity question. We searched for favorite stories from the past to shed light on this identity question. And we moved into groups, and each group picked a story and shared it about life at First Presbyterian, some from long ago and some more recent. It caused me to kind of look back into your history a little bit. Let me take you back to some of the bigger moments in life. Looking for reasons to give thanks for the particularity found in this place. The time, actually, I'll just give you my source. Here's my source. It's available in the lobby. The time was 1829. The church moved from a home church to its first building, a modest wooden structure on the corner of Dempsey and Hempstead Roads. I live on Hempstead Road. And from our history book, the enrichment, it says this, the excitement over the new church was short-lived. The Sunday following its dedication, the Blendon Church burned to the ground. Not making this up. Arson was suspected. While the ashes still smoldered and the faithful gathered around the site, Squire Timothy Lee exclaimed, "We can build as fast as they can burn." Not quite. The church funds nearly depleted. It took almost 3 years to rebuild. It's a beautiful sign of God's enduring love and faithfulness in the middle of disappointment. So jump forward 35 years to 1864, another reason to give thanks. The congregation wanted to better serve the village of Westerville, it was written. So they approved a new brick church in town, and they moved in right here, just 4 days before the end of the Civil War. Despite the turmoil in the world around them, the church members had once again made a leap of faith. So give thanks for this new location, this new place of worship, and the fact that the congregation generations before cared about the new residents coming to Westerville. One more building story. I'm kind of in a building story mode here. In the summer of 1913, that's 50 years after that, a new brick, bigger, more modern building was dedicated. Because for more than a year, the congregation had met on the second floor of Town Hall, while the old building was torn down and the new building, this actual sanctuary, was built. So in July of 1913, they had a dedication service. And at that dedication service, 31 new members were received, and 5 people were baptized. A sign of thriving in this place, a new chapter beginning. Give thanks to the Lord and bless his name, because the Lord provides and draws people to worship him. So Psalm 100 is cloaked in joy. It's the very act of giving thanks that brings about the gladness and delight. The psalm is not primarily about our responsibility to give thanks. It's about our response to God. Think about the joy in these words. Gladness, singing, thanksgiving, praise. It's a celebration with zeal, like a good party. Be it graduation or wedding or birthday or a new building. For close to 200 years, this church has worshiped God in this place. For close to 200 years, this church has done its best to build community, to collaborate together for a common good, and to speak against injustice, and to raise the next generation in faith. And these are all reasons to give thanks. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Giving thanks is an act of remembrance. We remember what God has done, and that keeps us from taking it for granted. And when we remember, our thankfulness grows, and it's expressed in praise, which strengthens our connection to God, because we enter into his presence when we do this. I, for one, am grateful for this place. You are people who care for one another. You encourage me and all those around you, and you serve God, being his hands and feet in action. So let us make a joyful noise. Let us serve the Lord with gladness. Today we will give thanks. As we sing this next hymn, consider what reason you bring to give thanks to God, because we will have a time of sharing afterwards where each can take a moment to share. For God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.